it's been back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsborough with the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
What are we discussing this week?
We're going to talk about a recent project of the Manitoba Historical Society that asks the question, when is an apartment block not an apartment block? And it relates to something known to urban planners as the missing middle.
Very intriguing. I want to know more. Where do we start with all this?
Well, listeners know that I'm fascinated by old buildings of all types, especially when they illustrate some important historical trend. This morning, we're looking at old apartment blocks. What's the trend? Well, in the early 20th century, the city of Winnipeg was growing rapidly. There was an urgent need to provide accommodation for people. Now, while detached single-family homes were built in abundance at this time, it was not necessarily the preferred option for single people and couples. So, starting around 1900, apartment blocks with one or more bedrooms began to be built to provide greater diversity of accommodation options.
Okay. Now, we have talked about historic apartment blocks in this series before, haven't we?
Yeah. Way back in December of 2019, we talked about Victoria Court. It's a three-story block on William Avenue here in Winnipeg, built in 1910. It was occupied until at least 2014, but it sustained fire damage that year that caused it to be vacated and boarded up. Now, I'm pleased to report that earlier this year, Victoria Court reopened, and it's now occupied again. But its role in providing critical accommodation to a growing city led me to wonder just how many other early 20th century blocks were built and how many of them are still existing today. So with help from MHS researcher Nathan Kramer, we started a project 18 months ago to answer these questions.
Amazing. And, you know, I remember that fire. So I'm really happy that that all resolved itself and it's now hospitable again. Now, how did you find out what old apartment blocks were built?
We focused on the blocks that were built between 1900 and 1930, on the thinking that the Great Depression that began in 1930 put an end to most apartment block construction. Now, during this 30-year period, we found a total of 549 blocks that were built. To find them, we searched the Henderson's Directory for Winnipeg. That was a book published each year, and in its pages were a list of the apartment blocks that had been built. But this only provided the name and street addresses of the blocks. It didn't tell us anything about the building itself. You know, what architect designed it? What contractor built it? What were its dimensions? What building materials were used? What was its cost? And who owned it? For these details, Nathan Kramer spent many, many hours at the City of Winnipeg Archives poring through old building permits that are stored there. They provided a wealth of information, but of course, they didn't tell us what the building looked like or if it was still standing.
Wow. Well, I guess Nathan had his work cut out for him. Now, how did you end up finding this information?
Well, to find out which buildings were still standing and what they looked like, MHS volunteer photographer George Penner traveled around the city, going to the addresses we had found for the list of apartment blocks, taking photos of all the buildings he found, and of course, making notes of the ones that he didn't find. Nathan helped with this work too, and I photographed numerous blocks during my pandemic walks with my wife. I talked about this in one of the earlier episodes, all the walking I did over the last couple of years. Altogether, this project took us about 18 months to go through the entire list of blocks, and actually, to be honest, there's still about a dozen or so that we're working on yet. Of the total number, though, 355, or about two-thirds of the total, are still standing today.
Wow. What were any of the interesting trends that you found?
Well, it turns out that the Great Depression was not the only reason that apartment block construction stopped. The First World War was also a major factor. The number of blocks built per year increased dramatically in the early 1910s, from 44 in 1910 to 73 in 1914, the year the war started. In 1915, that number dropped to just 2. And in fact, we found several blocks that were started before the war that were not completed until the early 1920s, a couple of years after the war was over. And in fact, the war had a lingering economic impact on Winnipeg's growth. Between 1919 and 1925, only 12 blocks were built. You know, just a vanishingly small number compared to the number before the war. Finally, it wasn't until 1926 that things began to pick up again, and there was a dozen built that year alone. On the eve of the Great Depression in 1929, 29 blocks were built, and it was in this period of the late 1920s when we ran into an interesting case that posed the question, when is an apartment block not an apartment block?
So what's the answer?
When a building's contractor says it isn't an apartment block. Now, I have to explain. During our project, while Nathan combed the archives and George photographed the buildings, I wrote short biographical sketches of the architects and contractors who built the apartment blocks. Among the contractors I found was a fellow named Bentley Taylor. He came to Winnipeg around 1910 and was responsible for the construction of 5 blocks, all of which are still standing. Among those blocks was the Craighaven Apartments on Ethelbert Street, whose construction in 1927 was really controversial.
How so?
Well, as Mr. Taylor was building the Craighaven, 2 of his neighbors took him to court, seeking an injunction on the construction. They argued that a caveat on the land title, the land on which the building sat, allowed only single-family residences, not apartment blocks.
Why would there be such a caveat against building apartment blocks?
Because there was an opinion in at least some proportion of Winnipeg's populace that apartment blocks attracted the wrong kind of residents. Lower and middle-class people who needed affordable housing. And, well, in the racist and class-based thinking of the day, apartment blocks would breed slums. You know, it would bring poverty and crime into the neighborhood. And this was not an uncommon attitude in the early 20th century. In fact, it was responsible in part for a concept known by urban planners as the missing middle.
And what is that, Gordon?
Well, the missing middle describes a condition that occurs in many cities around North America today, where there are an abundance of detached single-family homes at one end of an accommodation spectrum and large apartment complexes at the other end, but nothing in between. A lot of cities have no small apartment blocks, such as the Victoria Court or the Craighaven Apartments. In Toronto, for example, the city council passed a bylaw in 1912 that explicitly banned the construction of apartment blocks, with the result that there are essentially no blocks from this period there.
So what happened to the court case against Bentley Taylor?
Mr. Taylor responded to his neighbors that the caveat against apartment blocks didn't apply because his building was a single-family residence. Now, the neighbors pushed back. They observed that the building had a flat roof, just like an apartment block. It had a main entrance that looked like an apartment block, and it had 5 bathrooms. Now, they argued, why would a single-family residence need 5 bathrooms? Well, despite these observations, the judge in the case found in favor of Bentley Taylor, and the work was completed. Now, at first, the building was occupied by a single family, so I guess they would have had a great time with all those 5 bathrooms. But in 1935, the building began to be advertised in newspapers as an apartment block. So it turns out Mr. Taylor had succeeded in pulling the wool over the eyes of the court, and in so doing, circumvented zoning rules that would have contributed to a missing middle here in Winnipeg. The result is then that we have lots of small apartment blocks from the early 20th century in Winnipeg. I would argue probably more than many cities in Canada. And I think that's really cool that we have all of these historic blocks around the city.
I think so too. And a lot of them are absolutely stunning and add to the city as well. Gordon, I'm wondering, can you give us a hint about next week's episode?
We're going to visit a couple of abandoned buildings in rural Manitoba that made me feel quite uneasy when I went inside them. They pertain to a question I'm frequently asked about my travels around the province. Aren't you trespassing?
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into that next week.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.